Welcome to The Vault. Over Pastor Hal's 60 years of ministry, we at Life Ministry Church were blessed to hear some amazing sermons and teaching series. As God's word is timeless, the principles behind these messages still apply for today. We hope and pray that these messages will bless you as much as they did when Pastor Hal first delivered them.
I want to talk to you tonight about the fact that God has an answer. And we're going to talk of the story of Naaman. Let's all pray. Father, as we come to your word tonight, I pray that that word might be a hammer to break the hard rock of our hearts. Lord, let your word have your own spirit within it, that it might do that which you desire tonight in the lives of your people. Help us, Lord, in the midst of your word, we pray. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The Bible tells us that up ahead is something that it calls judgment. And depending upon how we have lived, so we shall be judged. And regardless of the sophistication that there might be upon us, one thing is certain, the Holy Spirit makes sure in people's lives that they feel a condemnation when they fall into sin. Condemnation usually will let us know the state that we are in before our God. If you are condemned tonight, condemned because the rottenness of this old world around about us has in some way tainted your life, then, unless you've done something about that condemnation, unless you've done something about that tainting, you can know for surety from the Word of God that judgment lies ahead for you. I wonder where you are tonight. If you are in trouble with condemnation, if you are in trouble with sin, then one thing is certain, God has an answer. That condemnation can be removed, that sin can be cleansed, and you can be set free. Do you believe it? We want to talk about Naaman. And if you'd like to turn with me to the second book of Kings in chapter 5, We are going to read his story. 2 Kings 5, reading from verses 1 to 15. I'm going to read this story fairly quickly. Just try and follow it, please. Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master, and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, "Would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy." Verse 4. And one went in and told his lord, saying, "Thus and thus saith the maid that is of the land of Israel." And the king of Syria said, Go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel." And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 pieces of gold, and 10 changes of raiment. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, "Now when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman my servant to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy." Verse 7. It came to pass, when the king of Israel had read the letter, that he rent his clothes and said, "Am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man doth send unto me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me." And it was so, when Elisha, the man of God, had heard, that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, Wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come to me now, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot, and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. Verse 10. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, Go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. But Naaman was wroth, and went away and said, Behold, I thought he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. Are not Abana and Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage. And his servants came near and spake unto him and said, My father, if the prophet had bid thee to do some great thing, wouldest thou not have done it? How much rather then when he saith to thee, Wash and be clean? Then went he down and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God. And his flesh came again, like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. Verse 15. And he returned to the man of God, he and all his company, and came and stood before him, and he said, Behold now, I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. Now therefore I pray thee, take a blessing of thy servant. He wanted to pay him. I want to deal with just 4 features of the story tonight. We haven't got too much time, and we're not going to spend a lot of time in this message. I want to talk, first of all, of that mighty soldier, Naaman. Secondly, of a simple maid. Thirdly, of a helpless king. And fourthly, of a prophet that was in Israel. First of all, let's look at this mighty soldier, General Naaman. He was the general of the king's army of Syria, and he was a great man. He was the prime minister of Syria, which was a pagan nation, and he was the commander-in-chief of its very successful army. He was accomplished, he was rich, he was powerful, he was capable, he was competent, he was a leader of men, he was proud. The Bible says he was a mighty man of valor, but he was a leper. He was riddled with that loathsome disease, and he could not help himself. You see, no man's greatness, no man's honor can put him out of reach of life's greatest disasters. In fact, every man has something in him that blemishes him and diminishes him. None of us escape that fact. Naaman was as great as the world could make him, and yet the poorest slave wouldn't choose to change places with that mighty and wealthy man of importance. He was a leper. And so it is with the leprosy of sin. Because sin reaches down into a man's life, reaches down into the very depths of the inner man. And if we yield to it, it grips hold of us, and it spreads, and it poisons, and it spoils. It is loathsome like leprosy is, and it begins to spread into every aspect of a person's life. You cannot isolate it. Sin cannot be isolated. It grows and it destroys, like putting a wedge into a crack in a rock and hammering that wedge. And as you do so, slowly but surely, the strength and the composition of that strong rock breaks up and it falls apart just because a little wedge has got into a crack. And so it is with sin in your life and in my life. Sin is a leprosy. I wonder who here is still bound by sin. Wonder who here still has that loathsome thing gripping your life and working through every aspect of your body, your mind, and your spirit. Secondly, there was a simple maid. Syria had conquered Israel, and Naaman's wife had this little maid, this little young Israeli girl whom he had brought back to be her slave. She had the answer to her master's problem. That's very interesting, because I want to read you one scripture. You need not bother to turn to it. It's in 1 Corinthians 1, and I'm just going to read two verses tonight, verse 21 and 27. Verse 21 says, "For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe." And then in verse 27, "But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things that are mighty." God has chosen the foolish things of this world to do wonderful things. So, even tonight, God can use this preaching of mine. Because it says elsewhere, by the foolishness of preaching, men are saved. See, God uses foolish things to do wonderful things. All right. Naaman, the leper, the great general, the leper, so desperate in his situation that he did not scorn the advice of that little slave maid. He didn't say that if the physicians of mighty Syria can't cure me, how can a prophet of God in defeated Israel help me? No, he was desperate enough to listen. He didn't love Israel. He didn't honor Israel. He just defeated them in battle. But if there was somebody there who can help him, then he decided he would respond. Or sometimes I wish if only so many individuals today would have the wisdom of Naaman when he made that decision. If there is somebody who can help me, it's time I started to listen. Then thirdly, let's talk about a helpless king. King of Israel, Jehoram. He was a bad king. We read about him in 2 Kings 3 and 2 Chronicles 21. Not only was he a bad king, but he was out of touch with God and with God's prophet in Israel, Elisha. It's a very bad thing to be out of God's men for you in your life. We need to keep in touch with them. We read the story how the king of Syria sent a letter with Naaman to King Jehoram and asked him to heal the leprosy. And Jehoram thought this was a trick. All the king of Syria is trying to do is to put me in an embarrassing position which I have no way of fulfilling, and as a result of that, come in with his army again and further subjugate me. He believed this was just a trick of the king. He was helpless to heal Naaman himself, and not being a godly man, he never thought of the prophet in Israel. He never thought of Elisha. You see, that little captive maid knew more of the things of God than did that ungodly king of Israel. And so the world today is just the same. The world today out there is helpless against the leprosy of sin. Oh, they do all sorts of things. They try and reform people. But there are unsaved parents and unsaved teachers and psychologists and psychiatrists and unsaved doctors, and they're all trying, some of them with the greatest sincerity in the world, but they're all helpless in their natural wisdom in dealing with the leprosy of sin. But as there was a prophet in Israel back there in Naaman's day, so there is a prophet of Israel in the church, in the world today, and a far greater prophet than Elisha, for he is the Lord Jesus Christ, and he has all the answers. Amen. So Naaman was sent to the prophet by the king. And the fourth one I wanted to talk about was Elisha the prophet. Actually, in verse 8 of our story, we read that he had sent a message to the king, to his king, and asked that this man be sent to him. And when he came, you remember, Elisha only sent a messenger out to the general and said, go and wash in Jordan 7 times. So you can picture the scene. Naaman, this great general, this prime minister of Syria, this wealthy man, this eloquent man, this competent man, this famous man. When he comes to the prophet, he comes with all of his retinue. He read about it. He comes with his chariots. He comes with money. He comes with soldiers. He wants to buy. And to his great surprise, the prophet doesn't even come out to see him, leave alone asking him in. All he did was to send a servant forth with directions, which is exactly what I'm doing tonight. I'm purely a servant of the Lord, and I'm bringing you some directions tonight from his word. It's very interesting what happened when you think of all that Naaman had been through to get to that point. And when he got to that point, and when the message came out, he was enraged, the word says, because his pride came up. And in the midst of that pride, he forgot he was a leper. Self came up. He said, even the king of this nation saw me, but the prophet won't. Just sends a servant out. He forgot he was asking a favor he had no right to demand, a favor he could not demand, because in Israel a leper was an outcast. You see, many Christians have hearts that are not humbled. Many Christians need to humble themselves because they are in humbling circumstances and they need to recognize it. But they let pride rise up and cover their need. Patients don't prescribe to their physicians, but Naaman wanted to prescribe to the prophet. He wanted to be healed, but he wanted to be honored and humored at the same time. He had pride of country also. He was wroth because he'd been told to go and bathe in Jordan. He said, why bathe in Jordan? We have good rivers in my own country, in Syria, and I'm not going to humble myself to bathe in this river of this defeated nation, a nation I defeated myself. I have a better way. I'll go and bathe in the good rivers of my own nation. And that's very common, that sort of attitude of rebellion, for those who are wise in their own conceits to look with contempt upon the dictates of divine wisdom. They prefer their own ideas of righteousness. You see, proud men are their own worst enemies because they forego their own redemption. But Naaman's servants, we read, entreated him. They were faithful servants. They risked his displeasure. And they stood up to him and said, the master, if he told you to do some great thing, you would have done it. But all he's telling you to do is go in, dip in this river 7 times. Surely it's worth you doing that. And Naaman yielded. He yielded to God's terms, to wash and to be clean. He obeyed and he washed. The word we read says that he was cleansed of his vile deadly leprosy. Verse 15, he came back and he acknowledged what God had done for him. It's a very beautiful story. I want to just briefly touch 8 lessons in the story tonight. 1, we can't heal the leprosy of sin ourselves. But the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ is there to cleanse us. Revelation 1:5, it says, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. There is a cleansing for the leprosy of sin. Secondly, sin, if it's left, grows and finally destroys. By salvation, Naaman brought gold and silver to buy his healing. You can't buy the gifts of God. The gifts of God are gifts, and they're gifts of grace. Fourthly, pride and anger and passion and resentment and self-esteem must be humbled so that you can obey God and obey him his way. Fifthly, there's no respect of persons with God. The Bible says so. All who are willing to obey him and walk according to his word will find his blessing. Sixthly, the simplicity of salvation. The simplicity of our needs being met. Naaman was told, go dip in Jordan 7 times. He was told, wash and be clean. So simple. But of course, behind the commands of God always is the Holy Spirit flowing. And although they look so simple, the commands of God have the power of the Holy Spirit behind them, working in the midst of our obedience to bring to pass what God has said will happen. Eighthly, directly faith obeys, blessings follow. Only we'd believe that. That was 7. Eighth, Naaman came back, he publicly confessed the Lord. We need to publicly confess the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe some here tonight, you've never publicly confessed the Lord. Something we all need to do. I'm going to finish there tonight. I've made this very short because it's been a long night. But it's a very clear and simple message. Basically, I'm speaking to those who are still tainted in some way with the leprosy of sin. Tainted by the rottenness of this world. You've got condemnation. Because as I said, I don't care how sophisticated you might be on the outside, the condemnation of God still reaches to the inside. Tonight, you've got to let pride be trodden under. Tonight, you've got to allow yourself to become of a humble heart, willing to obey God as Naaman finally got over his anger and his pride and obeyed God. Willing to throw away your own opinions and rather begin to do what your God, what your Creator has said to do. He has said that you can repent. He has said that if you repent, if you confess your sins to him, and repent of them, then he will forgive you and will cleanse you in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. These are the words of Scripture. These are the provisions of God. If you have never yielded to the Lordship of Christ, then tonight you can do that and publicly confess him as your Lord, as those who are baptized tonight have already done, as most of you here have already done. See, God has a pattern, God has a way. His pattern and his way works. It never fails. It might take time and outworking. I often say something that's taken 20 or 30 years to get established in your life, if it's wrong, isn't necessarily going to correct itself in 20 or 30 days. So there might be a time factor as God deals with us. But one thing is certain, the Word of God, if we will obey it and walk in it uprightly and with a pure heart, will prevail in every life that's in this auditorium tonight. We are going to take communion tonight. If the brethren could just gather around that table and be prepared to administer it to the congregation. And I wanted to take communion tonight because I'm talking about sin. And there's only one answer to sin. That's the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's only one answer to condemnation and the difficulty in your life, and it's the body and blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's exactly what this communion table offers you tonight. It offers you the body, the broken bread, representing the broken body of our Lord Jesus Christ. It offers you the blood, the cup, representing the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not making an open call for any tonight who might have condemnation, might still have that taint of sin making you a leper in your life. Tonight, I'm going to let you determine that yourself. And if you so desire tonight, before I lead you into eating and drinking of the body and blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, you can make your own peace with God. Tonight you can confess your sin. Tonight you can repent of your sin. Tonight, as you eat and drink, you can eat and drink of God's answer to the leprosy of sin in your life, to the problem of condemnation and guilt in your life. And as you drink by faith, you can know that the blood of Christ washes you clean of that leprosy, as great a miracle, if not a greater one, than the leprosy of Naaman that was cleansed in Jordan. Tonight can be a miracle night for you as you eat and drink, as you confess and receive the forgiveness of a gracious and a forgiving and a merciful God, because he says he will forgive. Tonight, you can experience, as you let your faith go, the cleansing power of the blood of Christ, which the Word of God says can even purge your conscience as it washes you clean and sets you free.